Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 51. This week we are talking about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Nope.
: The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Did they drop that and where to find them for this, or did they keep that in?
I think it's in there.
Oh my god.
Is it not? I would imagine it is.
What a title.
Which is a part of the Wizarding World, which I don't know why they wouldn't just call it Wizarding World. It feels like that would be easier. Harry Potter prequel kind of series. So we'll get talking about that, spoilers and non-spoilers. But first, movie news, as always. Bad Boys 3, which we announced a couple weeks ago, is like officially happening, has an official title, which is Bad Boys for Life, but the E in life is a 3. Filming is set to begin in January. How do you feel about that title?
I'm dying inside at like the production company calling IMDb and being like, yep, okay, so the title is Bad Boys for Lif 3. That's L-I-F 3. And like, it's just so convoluted and stupid.
Why not just call it Bad Boys for Life without the number in there? Like, is there any issue with that?
It's the 3 is the E. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
It's like a bad Reddit joke is what it
is.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a bad Fast and Furious title.
Yep.
Trash. Utter trash. But is Michael Bay attached? I can't remember.
No, he's producing. Yeah. Okay. But two like Dutch filmmakers are doing it. But it's got like $100 million budget. So
Do you think either one of them will say, I'm getting too old for this shit in this movie?
the reported synopsis is that Martin Lawrence's character has become a private eye after a falling out with Will Smith's character.
Okay.
And Will Smith's character is going through a midlife crisis as a bachelor, like in his whatever late 40s, and is struggling with that. And then they come back together because apparently some Albanian hitman puts a contract out on their heads because they killed his brother or something.
Wasn't the whole plot of 2 that Will Smith was sleeping with Martin Lawrence's sister and she gets captured?
Yeah.
So I guess that doesn't work out.
Yeah, apparently not.
Interesting.
Well,
I'm excited for Bad Boys for Lift 3.
And production has begun. Official synopsis has been revealed. Godzilla King of Monsters also wrapped filming this week. Here's the synopsis. So Adam Wingard is going to be directing this one. Alexander Skarsgård is in it. Millie Bobby Brown, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Isaac Gonzalez, Julian Dennison, Kyle Chandler, Damian Bashir. Stacked cast. In a time when monsters walk the earth, humanity's fight for its future sets Godzilla and Kong on a collision course that will see the two most powerful forces of nature on the planet collide in a spectacular battle for the ages as Monarch embarks on a perilous mission into uncharted terrain and unearths clues to the Titans' origins. A human conspiracy threatens to wipe the creatures, both good and bad, from the face of the earth forever.
I like this Titans thing, I think. I don't feel like normal people didn't like calling them kaijus.
I don't like that. I don't like kaiju.
Don't like kaiju?
I don't like it. I don't like that name.
Do you like Titans?
I don't know if I really like that either.
It's more accessible. I see why they officially are calling them Titans. But yeah, obviously no Vera Farmiga. Kind of a spoiler on who's going to live in this movie, who's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that they're going from 3 huge monsters for Godzilla to fight to just 1. I think I've talked about this before. I assume King Kong and Godzilla will fight early, and then there will be a new monster for them to team up and fight with. That's my guess.
I'm interested in why King Kong and Godzilla will be fighting. Like, what prompts it? Because
how does he get there? How does Godzilla get there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How does King Kong get there? They capture him, try and put him on display, maybe like the old movies.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much King Kong has grown. He obviously wasn't. I think they've been said that he wasn't full grown in the King Kong movie with John Goodman and all those other peeps. But yeah, looking forward to this a lot. Looking forward to King of Monsters more right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean that trailer. You can still watch it, and it just fully
probably the best trailer I've ever seen.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Next up, Netflix and Paramount have signed a multi-picture film deal, which is kind of a big deal for Hollywood, because, you know, they're pretty anti-Netflix and streaming, and, like, only about being in theaters, but Paramount did have a deal with Netflix for Cloverfield Paradox. Paramount produced it, developed it, and then they sold it to Netflix, as we know, to premiere on like Super Bowl Sunday right after the Super Bowl. So this is basically Paramount's going to make movies. They're going to stream on Netflix, probably not be in theaters. Paramount is has finished last out of the top six film studios the past like 5 years. They started out pretty good this year, but apparently not doing well enough. They somehow dropped back down below again. So I guess this is them trying to, you know, hang on to relevance.
I like this though. Instead of creating yet another streaming service, they're just partnering with the king. I mean, this is going to get eyeballs on their movies, that's for sure.
I agree.
I like this move by them.
I like that. It's interesting for Netflix to do. I guess, I mean, it isn't entirely weird, but Netflix's whole thing was like not liking outsourcing anything or like getting stuff from other studios, which is why like a lot of shows have been canceled because other production studios own them. So this is kind of weird. I assume like it's favorable for them to do this, obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. But it's interesting that they decided to do this instead of just doing what they're doing with all their Netflix originals, you know?
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out, but at the end of the day, it's more content, and Paramount, you know, is trying to make some money here, so.
Yeah. J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot production company, has added 6 projects to a growing film slate. So Bad Robot is responsible for the Cloverfield movies, it's attached to Star Trek movies, made Alias, made Lost, Westworld, a lot of stuff, Super 8. That's like the only other non-Cloverfield Star Trek movie that I can think of by Bad Robot. I'm assuming that these aren't gonna be like all like Cloverfield movies or anything. I bet we get like at least one more Cloverfield movie, would be my guess.
Oh yeah.
But I love J.J. Abrams. I think he's very good at what he does, and so I'm excited about this. I'm glad to hear that they're growing.
I don't think there's a Bad Robot movie that I haven't enjoyed. They did Mission Impossible, a couple of those as well. Star Trek Beyond, like I really love their stuff, so I love this news.
And then last movie news story of the week: Apple has tapped A24 to produce a slate of films for its streaming service. So this Apple streaming service already has a few big budget TV shows. They're bringing Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon back to TV, Steve Carell back to TV as well. They got a couple other ones. So A24 made Lady Bird, Moonlight, Jesus, so many movies. It's kind of even Hereditary.
Didn't they make It Comes at Night?
It Comes at Night.
Yeah,
so basically like an indie art house production company, but they make pretty much consistently great movies that are a little bit different from other kind of like typical indie art house movies. How do you feel about this?
Apple's making moves. I think they feel a little left out, and this is a powerhouse of a good production studio. So good to see you. I kind of like this for Apple as well. Obviously, I'm not excited about yet another streaming service, but more competition is good.
I'm just interested in, because apparently this Apple streaming service is going to be more family oriented and not supposed to be like they're trying to cut out any, you know, violent content or like swearing or nudity, sexual content, that kind of stuff like that. So, but A24, I can't think of a movie that A24 has done that has been family friendly, because I don't think they have done one. So it feels kind of weird, but then again, if A24 wants to shift into making these more like consumer driven products and wanted to sell it to Apple, go for it. But they like continue making their actual good movies on the side for theaters, I'm down with that.
Yeah, tell you what too, is Apple going to do the thing where they only let you watch their streaming service on Apple devices like they do with a lot of crap?
I don't know.
That would really limit their market. Yeah. I can't see them doing that, but I totally can see them doing that as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it hasn't been released yet, like where their streaming service is, their streaming channel is even going to be. It's got to be in the Apple Store, I would assume.
Yeah.
But that would be a bad move. That's it for movie news. TV news, got a couple stories here. Filming has wrapped on the third season of Stranger Things, coming next summer. Not getting the Halloween debut like it has for the first two seasons, but it's coming next summer, so we get it fairly soon. We get to finish up Game of Thrones, and then we get to watch Stranger Things right after it.
Like, it's great that it's coming quicker, but I love the aura of Halloween and being able to power through Stranger Things and talk about it with friends. So kind of sad on this. Let's just make a pact. We'll just wait until October to watch it. Sound good? Everybody? Everybody listening?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good call.
Okay.
That's a good call. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is getting a surprise Christmas episode on Netflix. It's going to debut on December 14th. So this is actually, Netflix ordered 20 episodes. So this is actually going to be the 11th episode. So they released 10 episodes for like the part one of the first season. They're producing the second 10 right now, but apparently they already shot this winter one. Dubbed Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, a Midwinter's Tale. Special installment will revolve around the Church of Night's annual celebration of the winter solstice when, per a Netflix release, families gather around the Yule fire to sing pagan carols and tell ghost stories, and you never know what might come down the chimney.
Ooh.
So that sounds cool. I like Christmas-themed horror stuff. I like it a lot. But apparently,
I'm really looking forward to that Anna and the Apocalypse movie. Ooh, that looks a lot like a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. But this is a part of Netflix's sort of broader holiday kind of push here. Apparently, they're releasing quite a few other like special edition or special episodes for other shows, and they're releasing three different like Christmas-themed movies as well.
Oh God. We didn't review one of the trailers that I saw. It was Kurt Russell as Santa
Claus.
Hell
yeah, baby.
Oh my God, did that look like just ridiculous?
It looked like absolute garbage.
Oh yeah. Give me a Black Mirror Christmas episode. I know they have the White Christmas one, but wouldn't that be dope if they just surprise dropped a Black Mirror episode?
Yeah, that would be a great move. Awesome. Drop one Christmas episode and then release whatever the rest of the season 5 days later, 6 days later.
Yeah, I mean, when BBC or Channel 4 or whoever owned it in the past they did do an episode literally called White Christmas, mm-hmm. I believe released around Christmas, so give me one more of those. That'd be a fun review.
Of course. Jack Reacher is being rebooted for television. This headline cracks me up because the next part of the headline says Tom Cruise replaced for being too short, because of course, Tom Cruise really wants to be in a Jack Reacher television show. And yeah, that's why.
It's like the headline is basically saying he was cast for this, and we don't want Tom Cruise. He's too short. Tom Cruise doesn't want to be in a goddamn Jack Reacher television show. That series was trash anyway. No, and I've heard there was controversy around him being cast in those movies. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was because he was too short. Jack Reacher is supposed to be like this massive beast of a man, but shitty clickbait headline.
Yeah. I do actually like the first Jack Reacher movie a lot. I think it's pretty good. The second one,
I've seen neither of them. So you tell me, worth a watch?
The first one is. The second one is garbage.
Okay.
Then last news story of the week. Gina Carano has joined The Mandalorian for Disney+. Gina Carano is a former MMA fighter that switched to acting. She's been in... she was in...
Deadpool 2.
Yeah, she was in Deadpool 2. She was in Deadpool... I don't know.
Oh yeah.
If she was she in a Fast and Furious movie? No, that was Ronda Rousey.
Yes, no, she was in a Fast and Furious movie as well.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Letty fought her at some point.
Yes, she's bad at acting. I think
she's not good.
Mm. And she's certainly not as bad as Ronda Rousey is at acting.
Right. Right.
But she's bad, and so good.
Yeah.
Go on the sinking ship.
Okay. Okay. I hope she just plays a silent character, like a robot or something. Just like a big hulking bounty hunter or something that doesn't have a lot of lines, because I don't like this news. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She can play a badass, but yeah, I haven't been too impressed with her.
Yeah, not at all. That's it for news this week. We have two trailers. The first is Fighting With My Family, a Dwayne The Rock Johnson produced movie written and directed by Stephen Merchant.
I love Stephen Merchant. I was so pumped to see this afterwards. It got me kind of excited for this movie that didn't look that great.
So this stars Florence Pugh, who is actually the queen in Outlaw King. Looks wildly different.
Okay. I was like, where do I know this girl? But yeah, it doesn't look anything like her.
Yeah. And then like Nick Frost is in there, dude, from Shaun of the Dead. The Rock makes an appearance as himself.
I think it's produced by Dwayne The Rock.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But this is about, like, two British kids that want to get into the WWE, and then, like, the sister makes it and the brother doesn't. Some whole nonsense. I thought this looked really bad.
Yeah, Stephen Merchant's in it. I saw him in the trailer as well, but he's the guy from Hello Ladies. He was, God, he's known for, I think he's in The Office, the British The Office, mm-hmm. but really funny British dude, tall, gangly looking, hilarious dude. But yeah, I wasn't super pumped for this, but with his name attached, definitely give it a shot. Yeah. But it didn't look great.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know what the worst part of it was? Mm. I think The Rock was the worst part of it.
He was really bad, yeah.
Did it, like, it felt like they were trying to do, like, a thing where, like, you like, this is what Entourage would do all the time, where they put in, like, a cameo from an actor, like, yeah. playing himself, but he's, like, a dick version of himself.
Everybody this knows Dwayne The Rock Johnson's, like, the nicest guy ever, so it just didn't work.
Yeah, and he, like, you could tell that he didn't even believe it. Like, he wasn't even, yeah. Oh, God, it was brutal.
It was a really weird tone for the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other trailer is for Dumplin', a Netflix movie releasing in a couple of weeks, I believe, first week of December. This stars Jennifer Aniston as a, like, beauty pageant queen somewhere in the South, and she has a daughter who's overweight, and basically it seems like they have a pretty contentious relationship, and the daughter decides to try out for the beauty pageant, much to the chagrin of Jennifer Aniston, and this prompts, you know, outcasts, if you want to call them that, trying to join and win the pageant. So it's going to be a whole thing, like, you know, the true beauty is on the inside, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My one thing thinking about this was, like, with these kinds of movies, how they have to, like, toe a very thin line here where, like, you want to play the situation for laughs because it's clearly a comedy, but, yeah. like, you can't play the laughs because, like, she's fat or something like that, or these people are weird, because you're supposed to be pointing out, like, that's why you shouldn't be laughing at them, like, all this other kind of stuff. But it kind of felt like they were just going to be doing that, and it just turns into, like, cliche, heartwarming, like, hot dude thinks she's attractive all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's clearly going for inspirational. I don't think there will be too much putting down or poking fun at the big girl. There will be a couple, but yeah, it's just going to be a heart warmer, tear fest, most likely. It did look kind of fun. Kind of like it could be funny. Jennifer Aniston is always going to bring it. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not super excited for this.
I think if it wasn't leaning, like, so heavy into the inspirational kind of thing, heartwarming kind of thing, I think it could have been good. Like, if it was just, like, straight hardball comedy, I think it could have been pretty decent, but it's not doing
and,
that.
And how do you think people feel that are casted for these roles? The casting call is like, we need a big girl who's not attractive, maybe has some facial acne, not clearly wouldn't be in a pageant. Come on, we just need you. We need a couple of you.
Yeah, I can't feel great.
I've always thought about that, where it's like, we need an ugly girl. We need a really ugly, dorky guy, and, like, that's the casting. I don't know.
I have a story. My roommate was at the gym, leaving the gym earlier this week. Do not change Fantastic Beats to Fantastic Beasts.
Sorry, I'm editing the agenda as Austin's telling me this story.
My roommate was leaving the gym earlier this week, and this dude comes up to him. He's like, hey, have you ever been in a movie before?
What?
Which, okay, first off, sounds like he's going to ask him to be in a porno or something. And,
absolutely.
And he goes, no. Why? What's up? He's like, well, I'm shooting a movie next summer, and I was just, like, wondering if you'd be interested in maybe being in it. And he's like, I don't know, because he's still, like, so confused and weirded out by this dude. And dude's like,
this
well,
is a pickup.
Guys,
this is a pickup.
Like, guys, well, let me tell you, like, what the movie's about. It's set in a dystopian future where a virus has killed everyone except for people with O blood type. But these people with O blood type are all kung fu masters.
What?
And it centers on them, like, robbing these, like, blood banks and stuff like that. And he's like, so it's like an action movie. You got to know kung fu. He's like, kung fu isn't that hard to know if you don't know kung fu. Like, we can teach you.
Just learn kung fu, yeah.
A high kick can't be that hard. And he was like, that's okay. Never mind.
This guy just wanted to get his number.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
hilarious.
The end of the story was he asked if my friend is single. My friend's like, yeah. And then the guy goes, would it make you feel good if I was single, too? And
my friend was, there it is.
Yeah, my friend was like, no, sorry.
No.
But just, like, the dedication to spit out an entire weird plot like that. almost makes me wonder if, like, this dude might actually be making a really bad movie.
Now I kind of want to see this movie.
I know. I kind of, like, I want to get his card so I can be in the movie.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for my story and trailers. It's time for the Fantastic Beasts review with a guest.
We're going to phone a friend here, and we're going to bring in a Harry Potter expert, my wife, Austin's sister, Sarah. I'm going to go grab her, so we'll edit this out, but here she comes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here we are with Sarah Lavelle.
Say hello.
Hello.
Our Harry Potter expert guest, my sister, Andy's wife. My wife. to talk about Fantastic Beasts 2, The Crimes of Grindelwald. This movie, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.4, 211 reviews, so pretty middling to not fantastic. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, has glimmers of the magic familiar to Harry Potter fans, but the story's spell isn't as strong as earlier installments. 71% of audience liked it, 3.8 out of 5. I think it was on track to make like $250 million worldwide this weekend, so that's pretty solid. Everyone's back in this one, as well as getting some new characters that we'll talk about later. But we'll go through non-spoilers, and then we'll get to spoilers. What did you guys really think about this movie? This movie really delves more into like Johnny Depp's character and sort of like him trying to start like a world war.
Yeah, I'll just come out and say it. I didn't like this movie. I wish this series took the direction of the Fantastic Beasts, and there was more about them, and maybe Newt's trying to wrangle them and save them and from poaching or an evil that's trying to kill them or something, but really kind of bored me, and I really did like the creatures in this movie, and went down pass and looked at the characters that are just extremely boring to me, and yeah, I didn't really like it. What about you, Sarah?
So I'm kind of middle of the ground.
Middle of the ground.
I don't know. I loved it when I was watching it because it just brought back all of the, like, the feel of Harry Potter and the magic and everything. And so when I was watching it, I was picking up on, like, all, like, the little things that you only know if you've basically read the books and are a huge fan and whatnot. So that was really fun for me. But when I walked out of the movie, I was like, wait, this wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be.
I've been fooled.
It felt like a stepping stone to the next movie.
That is exactly what I was gonna say. I'm in between both you guys watching the movie.
Yeah.
I kind of realized the things that I didn't really like, but again, like, it's Harry Potter, so I was like, well, hell yeah. J.K. Rowling is definitely putting in way too many, like, little nods to the Harry Potter series itself, where it's kind of like, you can stop. Like, we get it. Like,
it's like Star Wars now. Remember AT-ATs? Remember Mos Eisley?
You hear people in the row behind you go, oh my god, that's so-and-so. And then you hear, like, little claps, like, oh, should we clap?
It was really funny when they – I saw it with a buddy, a couple of friends of ours, Alex. When they showed Hogwarts, Alex turns to me and goes, Andy, that's Hogwarts.
it's enjoyable. I don't think it's a bad movie. It feels like the first two acts of another movie where there was there was no third act. And so because there is going to be three more films in this series here, that's kind of why it was like this. It kind of just felt like a filler episode that you would see on like a Netflix TV show or something.
There's three more movies?
Yeah, there's three more.
Jesus.
Oh.
No wonder they're taking it slow and the pacing's... I just feel like they don't have enough to stretch it out five movies.
There was way too many characters. They grew the character roster from the last movie, and they focused a little bit too much on certain characters from the last movie that I didn't really care about. They're not integral to the story all that much.
I'd say, you know, who was surprising, though, was Depp. I thought he'd be terrible. I mean, we're all tired of Johnny Depp, but yeah, it was pretty good. It was kind of creepy.
Yeah, I thought it was outstanding, especially after being kind of upset that they did the Colin Farrell bait and switch, because I thought Colin Farrell would have been better. But I actually think Johnny Depp is the right play here.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was ready to just hate him because of everything that's been going on with him, but he did a really good job. And that was a nice surprise. He's supposed to be like the second worst wizard of all time after Voldemort now. And so he needed to be really awful, I can't talk about anything else until we get to spoilers.
I know what you're going to say. They do some things to be like almost like really hammer home how bad he is. But
like not that bad either at the same time. So.
Whereas I actually like, because I think there's a differentiating factor between him and Voldemort. Voldemort is just pure evil and like has a strong ego. Whereas Grindelwald like actually has this motivation for himself that he like truly firmly believes in the greater good, and so like that's why he's doing this. It's not the right thing, obviously kind of related to like white supremacism or something like that, but at least you can understand like this is why he's doing it. So I think that's why he works, and Johnny Depp feels like he's probably evil in real life too, so like I think that kind of plays into it.
He's just woman beater.
And I mean, Dumbledore never could have loved someone who was fully evil. Mm-hmm. I feel like so. His little boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's not a spoiler.
How is it not a spoiler?
It's not a spoiler.
Everyone knows that.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Speaking of love stuff, I felt like this movie was really reliant on love stories. And it felt soap opera-y almost.
It's like four of them.
Yeah.
Four of them going on.
It was like they were using that to tie into like the main story, but it was like I don't care about
And
this
some of
stuff.
The love story conflict was so weak and convoluted and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I liked some of the love stories from the last movie, but this movie, oh boy, it was just hanging on by a thread. So what I did like was the creatures and Johnny Depp. I pretty much didn't like everything else. The story was confusing. It was aimless, wandering, convoluted. Yates' direction, it was gray and lifeless. Give you some color.
That's David Yates' way.
That's the point. Yeah, and that's...
I feel like the earlier Harry Potter movies were colorful. That wasn't Yates, was it?
No, Yates took over at Order of the Phoenix.
Give me some color, man.
Yeah, but he took over at the right time because the books turn really dark, really after like 4, they start to progressively get darker and darker. Yeah. So it goes, I thought that worked and it went with the tone.
Agreed. I do have a couple problems. His directing of action sequences, I don't know if I like it.
No.
But I can point out what I don't like, but for some reason there's moments where I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. But like it's not like shaky cam necessarily. It's just like too many fast cuts and like everything feels blurry because shit is happening way too fast.
We'll talk about the action sequences soon because those, they really disappointed me too. I didn't really know what was going on the entire movie. So I was depending on like, at least I'll like what I'm watching and the action scenes will be fun, but they still even weren't.
What did you guys think about the score, the music?
It did not resonate with me at all.
It really, it didn't stick in my mind. Honestly.
I mean, I remember hearing,
the Hogwarts theme.
That's it.
But, I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah. The opening scene was, I thought it was awesome. With the music,
agreed.
It was outstanding. And then after that, I think because the movie was apparently, 14 love stories wrapped together, it like was straight up just like, emotional manipulation with the music that they're playing. It was like there would be, you know, like nothing, and then you hear like da da da, and then like there you go, like what they make fun of in like Friends with Benefits.
Yeah,
the opening scene was awesome. I like had goosebumps. I was like, holy shit, like we're back into it. I'm really excited. You know, you see, I won't spoil it, but you know, it's an action sequence and. Has to do with Grindelwald, and so the music was good, and it was just really exciting. Good start to the movie. Mm-hmm. That did not keep up for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys like Jude Law as Hot Dumbledore?
Yeah, for the 6 minutes he was in this movie, and for the 2 things he even did, like he was hot Dumbledore.
Well, yeah, it's Jude Law. No, I like him as Dumbledore. I wanted to see a lot more of him in the movie.
Agreed. And it sort of goes hand in hand with Johnny Depp too. While Johnny Depp was in it a lot more, I just wanted to turn it into Johnny Depp Jude Law show, I think. Which is another thing, a problem with this, having this many characters. I saw this comment on Reddit that it basically said, like, J.K. Rowling wrote this movie like it was a book, whereas she has all these characters, like, you read in the books, and all these extra details that you read in the books, but it's a movie, you have to dilute it down, and so, like, that's part of the problem here. But anyways, Jude Law, I thought he was great. The entire time I was, like, trying to, like, tie him into how, like, the Michael Gambon plays Dumbledore, and, like, obviously, like, how you read Dumbledore in the books, and I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so, too.
Just not enough of him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're right. My buddy watched the last Fantastic Beasts last night, and he still walked out of the theater like, wait, what?
Yeah, there were many questions. I went with some of my friends, and one of them hadn't seen the first Fantastic Beasts until, like, early, I think, like, Wednesday, and we went on Friday night. And he came out. And usually he's one that's just, like, making dumb jokes the entire time. So, like, obviously you had, like, so that's, like, Harry Potter's dad, right? Like, those kind of stupid jokes. But he was like, so did you guys, like, understand that movie too, knowing, like, all this stuff? Or was that just me?
We'll talk about what roads they went down and some of the just filler subplots. And it just led to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did think Eddie Redmayne did a good job. I think he always does a good job. The little Danish girl. Mm-hmm. But from the first movie, people were talking that, you know, it's pretty clear he's, like, autistic or something like that, because he can't make eye contact and whatnot, but he, like, cares for these creatures and, like, connects with them. And I think he did a really good job of keeping that up and playing that character really well.
And then his little buddy, the fat dude, he's always funny, but he still kind of sucked this movie, too.
I thought he was fine. That we'll get into spoilers, but I do think his buddy, that love story was something that could have been cut out.
Let's get into spoilers. Do you have anything else, Sarah?
No, everything I want to say is a spoiler. So.
All right. I've got my paragraph rating. Do you have yours?
I'm not going to do it, but...
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, The Crimes of Grindelwald, is as long and confusing as its title is. Hours of filler, convoluted subplots, and very few actual beasts combined to a huge disappointment in a movie clearly created as a stepping stone to a much larger upcoming confrontation. Rating D.
Oh my god, what?
That is a little
get
bit
out
aggressive.
Here.
This movie sucks.
Sarah, what's your grade?
C+.
Okay. It's a C+ for me as well. I think D is really harsh.
I thought this movie was less than average. That's what a D is.
Oh my god.
I did not enjoy this movie.
All right.
This is the Last Jedi.
This is why Austin needed me to be on this podcast.
This is the Last Jedi version of Harry Potter.
Ugh, whatever. Okay. That's it for non-spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening. Next week, we are doing Creed 2, so you can look forward to that. Maybe a Widow's review, we don't know. But, spoilers, starting now. Okay. I don't even know where to begin with spoilers.
Start with the opening scene.
Oh, true. The opening scene. So we have Grindelwald break out, and then the flying carriage through the sky with the auras chasing after. Yep. I was confused about the lizard. Can you explain to me the lizard thing?
It seemed like it was like his right-hand man / pet, but then he just throws it out the window.
Yeah, it was hilarious when he threw it out the window. But clearly the people holding him captive, the ministry, knew that the lizard was in there.
Yeah, just plot hole.
I didn't
trash
get that.
Plot hole.
Austin, I don't know if you caught this, but when they were taking him out to get to the carriage, and they said to the guy, Abernathy, you know, they were like, Abernathy, like, here, take him, you know, into the carriage, whatever. Abernathy's a Death Eater in Harry Potter. So immediately I was like, oh,
really?
He's getting out. And then Clearly he drank Polyjuice Potion and they
yep.
transformed. And then, you know, it was clear that he was not really himself when you see the Elder Wand. So I thought that that was really cool when I heard the Abernathy name and then you see him holding the Elder Wand and you're like, oh, it's about to go down. So I thought that was really cool.
A lot was going on in that opening sequence, but at one point did the whole carriage get full of water?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What was it? What was going on there?
I believe he was cast trying a spell to kill. And
it was magic. Okay.
Yes. I did like it, you know, in the hecticness of that scene, you know, everything whirling around. I did like just like the random flashes of seeing Johnny Depp's face in like the window.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey guys, still here."
Correct me up. But yeah, I mean, that scene could have been a lot cooler, I think, too, if it, you know, had a little bit more focus instead of just being like craziness. Like I really liked like the stormy setting and stuff. So
yeah, that was probably my favorite part of the movie. Went downhill from there.
But then we jumped to Newt. Newt trying to get a job, maybe, thanks to his brother. Speaking of his brother, I wish his brother was in the movie more. I didn't think his brother was. They almost like started out like they were trying to act like his brother was a dick or something. His brother was not a dick at all.
No, I didn't realize it was his brother until the end of the movie. To be honest, really? I did not catch that. Yeah, I had no idea. I thought that
just
him
eerily
Lita,
similar looking guys.
I thought they were like BFFs, like the three of them. Like it was like a Ron, Harry, Hermione type deal.
I don't blame you. There are so many characters in this movie. I couldn't keep track of who was who. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, they kind of look alike. That's nice that they're best friends. and then it came out when he was explaining to Tina that his brother was marrying Lita. I was like, oh, I get it now. But I liked him. He was a good dude.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. Lita was a waste, I think. Obviously, she's going to need much more talking here, but I think she was a waste.
In the middle of the movie, they basically take an entire act exploring her backstory, and our buddy Cletus, or Clenza, what's his name?
Credence.
What a boring-ass character. This movie focuses on a guy that's so goddamn boring, and there's so much cock-teasing on who he is, worse than who Rey is from Star Wars. It spends an entire act going over this, and nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Right. He can't control his magic. And I realize that that's why he's so dangerous, but like, I don't care.
I'll give you the script that they gave him. Who am I? That's it.
I wrote one line for Credence. It reads, "Credence can fuck right off."
They're trying to make him like the big bad, and like they said, he's Dumbledore's brother.
Yeah,
I know we're getting.
We'll
all
get
right,
there.
Fine.
We'll get to that. That's someone that's going to need some talking.
Yeah.
And what about his snake lady girlfriend? I thought he was going to bang her and produce
Nagini.
Voldemort.
Nagini, who is Voldemort's snake.
Okay, that's Voldemort's snake.
Yeah.
Is the girl?
Yeah.
Yes. Also, Austin, did in the books they never say she used to be a woman, right?
No.
Right, this is like new.
This is just another J.K. Rowling thing.
Credence is going to bang the snake lady and give birth to Voldemort. How does Voldemort come into play here?
Well, the thing is at the end of the movie, she has a chance to join Grindelwald, and she doesn't.
Right.
So what happens to her that she joins Voldemort?
So, yeah. Okay, so first off, I think my Nagini line says, Nagini, pointless, because I do think there's no reason to have her in this movie. No. It's just another thing to, you know, like we said before, have people go, ooh, I know who that is.
Remember snakes?
My guess is that, so the circus leader master dude mentions that at some point she's not going to be able to turn back into a human.
Right.
And so I'm guessing throughout the rest of these movies, she's going to continue having that heartbreak over, Credence's bitch ass turning evil. And, she's eventually going to turn into a snake, and then she's going to disappear into the Albanian forest or wherever, which is where Voldemort finds her. And I imagine she's just going to, like, Voldemort, again, sly tongue, pretty convincing kind of guy. He must be able to work on her after she has dealt with, like, all the shit that happened with Grindelwald. and Credence.
Yeah, because no one can probably really understand her, mm-hmm. and since he speaks Parseltongue, yeah. and not many people can, that's probably why.
Yeah. So, like, I don't fully have, like, a problem with that. It's just, like, there's no point to do it. I don't need backstory for the snake in the movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Queenie. She was, I feel like, a very pure and good character. And her heel turn is very unearned and confusing. What did you think about her arc in this movie?
Well, I like to go back to where we see her again, and she's with, what is his
name?
Jacob. Jacob, thank you. Mm-hmm. See, I came and he's like supposed to be the lead character. Jacob, and
is it because he's fat? Is that why you can't remember his name?
No, I do not discriminate.
She's got him entranced. That's like super
right, but that's really messed up. But he says,
it's like rape, basically.
But she says that, like, they explain it that the obliviate, you know, spell that they put on him after the first movie, that it just makes him forget bad things. Obliviate makes you forget fucking everything. Watch, magic. Watch the F-bombs. Sorry. And all of us, and he's like, she just filled me in on the bad stuff. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
It's wrong.
Plot hole. I think, yeah, I agree. It's a plot hole. Although they do kind of explain that, like, well, no, because he walked into the rain to be obliviated or whatever, right?
Oh yeah.
And they said that was like more diluted. And that's how, like, the
because she was crying, yeah, right, and it was her emotions.
Yeah,
and...
yeah.
But yeah,
Queenie though, I actually, again, I do not give a shit about that love story. While I like those characters, fine, I don't really care about their love story because it doesn't really affect the main story in any way. But I do actually, I'm actually kind of okay with her wild turn there, because I like the reflections of Grindelwald being like this sort of like fascist leader, this like supremacist kind of like, you know, racist leader in a way. And
I get that. That's, but the she kind turned
of,
against.
She's the kind of person that like would follow that because she's dumb.
She's gullible.
Yeah.
She's. Yeah. I guess she's just dumb. Because if that's how you want to explain her heel turn is just she's dumb, then that's, I can agree with that.
Yeah, because he manipulated her into thinking that he was fine with love, even if it was to a muggle. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, he just wanted to get her to turn because she's pure blood and her sister's an Auror, so he just basically wants to get back at Tina.
Yeah.
So.
I do agree, sure. They could have done like a little bit better on like showing her, you know.
She just wanted to marry a muggle, and they said it was legal in other continents, and she could have just moved, but instead she became a Nazi. So
a Nazi.
Yeah, he's basically Hitler.
Did you guys? This is jumping ahead again, but did you guys like Johnny Depp vape god there with his with his skull hookah?
Dude, he's got some sweet vape moves. Pretty bad. He would win in any vape fight.
Pretty
match.
Badass. Pretty badass. It's kind of it's
which
kind
are
of,
things that exist.
Kind of a crazy vape move to be able to portray the future. With your vape,
yeah, portray
vape
World War One and Two.
It's just
I never thought I'd see tanks in a Harry Potter movie.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Jumping way back again. So when Newt goes into that meeting with his brother to like, they ask him to like go hunt down Credence, and then you have like the creepy Auror in the back, and he's like, "Oh, why is he here?" And then they just like don't explain who he is at all in the movie.
Dude? And he's then just a henchman.
And then you see him two more times as he's following Credence. He kills the elf, half elf.
I'm not your mother. I wanted to take care of you. You were so beautiful, Credence. Oh, I'm dead.
She died immediately. It was so funny when he was like on the ground giving her a hug, sitting cross-legged, and he's like, "Why didn't my mother love me?" And she's like, "She does love me." That lady was creepy.
So he kills him, kills the lady, and then we see him a couple scenes later with Grindelwald, and he's like, whatever, got rid of that like loose end.
But he was like, "I missed her. That won't fly. People know my reputation."
Yeah.
But nobody knows who the hell he is.
I don't even know if they said his name.
And then he's not mentioned in the rest of the movie. We don't see him again.
Yeah, just like the female henchmen from Grindelwald. There's just a bunch of random henchmen that have no... There's just too many characters.
Well, just don't put a double agent in there and then just have him be of no consequence. Literally, he doesn't show up after he sees Grindelwald, after he talks to Grindelwald. Grindelwald, my bad.
Grindelwald. Yeah,
I cannot make a move on Grindelwald.
Is everybody in the movie ridiculously good at magic?
That's a problem with David Yates. He sort of has taken like a lot of the cool aspects of magic and made it into just shooting
wrist flicks
beams. You shoot something and then something explodes and like
every problem flick of a wrist, like fix hangover, yes sir. Like I want that to just happen. Like everybody in the movie is just a wizard master, like all Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point because they only talk about how Dumbledore is the only person who could ever beat Grindelwald, but they don't, and we all know that as fans, that he's like the best wizard ever, but they don't really show any other wizards being terrible at magic.
Yeah, you're right. There's the baseline is amazing and there's no variation that you see.
Right by the end of the movie, very amateur wizards are just shooting giant CG beams at giant CG dragons at the sky with little to no effort.
Which is sad because David Yates actually directed the coolest fight sequence in all of the Harry Potter movies with Dumbledore and Voldemort in the fifth movie that shows a bunch of different kind of magic and shows that they're like very powerful and like much more talented than anyone else. But like you guys said, like that's not happening here, and like I can't possibly understand how I'm gonna feel like in awe when I'm supposed to see the greatest wizard showdown of all time in the fifth movie.
Yeah, I can see it now. Just more giant CG beams and people going, standing there with the wand, just pointing and grunting.
Can we talk about Nicholas Flamel?
Oh my God! Yes.
Is that the really old womanly looking?
Correct me.
That is like if I ever thought ghosts were real. That's what a real being ghost would look like.
When Jacob looks at him, he's like, "Are you a ghost?" Literally, that was like all I was thinking the entire time.
And at the end, he's like, "Everybody stand in a circle. We must trap the dragons before they destroy France."
He was yet another person that has no need to be in this movie. Maybe if they explain him like a little bit more. It was just like, we're going to have him in here so we can flash the Sorcerer's Stone for half a second.
Yeah. Right.
Sarah turned to me and go, "That's the Sorcerer's Stone."
Well, you wouldn't have known otherwise.
I knew it.
He didn't know.
I knew it.
He didn't know.
I liked his little run in his house, his little jog.
Yeah, what the hell? Is he in all the movies?
No, he's in none.
No, he doesn't appear in any...
I've seen him in something. Was it in the
he
last
was
one?
In Fantastic. Okay, he was in Fantastic.
Okay,
yeah,
the first
one.
Gotcha.
But who was he talking to in the book where he was like, he saw the vision of what was going to happen and he turns to a picture in the book and says he must go and see and fight and see the action.
Yeah, yeah. It's just another character that we don't know.
Yeah.
No idea.
And I would consider Sarah a pretty big Harry Potter fan. She has no idea. She got a goddamn tattoo on her ear, and she has no idea. So, just another inconsistency.
Austin knows just as much as me.
Okay. Didn't in the last movie they had to do forgettable rain on everybody because they didn't want them remembering stuff? But what was the deal with these giant black sheets covering all of Paris? And do they have to wipe everybody's mind now again?
I think only magic folk could see that.
Yeah, I think that was the magic world kind of stuff.
That's like
were those?
That's how he calls his followers, like how Voldemort has the tattoo on their forearms.
Sure.
And he just presses it with his wand and it like sends a message that their people the Death Eaters need to come. I guess the sheets thing is Grindelwald's thing.
Grindelwald magic. Robs a Joanne Fabrics and places it all over the city.
So the answer to most of my questions about inconsistencies is because magic.
Yeah,
got it.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
It was a pretty good.
It's a wizarding world.
Sure. Yeah.
Pretty good way around stuff. We were talking about love earlier and Dumbledore and Grindelwald. I like how we see, you know, like the one like flashback of Dumbledore and Grindelwald, and then we also see like him in the mirror. I like how they refuse to show them kiss. Because
they didn't say it.
Because Christianity, they just have them hold hands and like do their weird blood pact thing.
He did say, you could say that we were more than brothers.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, we were lovers.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
I did like that they used the same actor as young Grindelwald from the Harry Potter films.
Yeah. I like that consistency.
Hold on. Grindelwald was in Harry Potter?
He's flashback.
Interesting.
Yeah, you see him in flashback. Because of the Deathly Hallows, I'm sure they'll get to that more in the future movies.
Yeah, because that's explaining about how he stole the Elder Wand and in the flashback and like where it came from.
The whole deal.
But it's the same actor that they used.
Were you expecting... Oh, it is? What? Is this premonition?
I think I might have just thought of something. Okay, so you know how... isn't it? It's Marvel O'Gaunt is the one that has the Resurrection Stone, right?
Yeah.
So, are they gonna? Is what's gonna happen in these next movies? Are they gonna tie Grindelwald or is Credence gonna be like actually gonna be like a Gaunt or something? And like he's gonna end up with it.
I could see that.
Oh man, if they tie Grindelwald to Voldemort in any way, I'm going to be so pissed. That's going to be so dumb.
Wait, like that he becomes Voldemort or something?
No, that like Grindelwald, like one of Grindelwald's henchmen or something, or Credence ends up being like someone in the Voldemort family or in the Riddle family.
That's
the
what I keep expecting.
The Morvolo
Gaunts
or whatever. Should we talk about Leta for a little bit until we get into like the big end stuff?
Yes. I don't want to, but sure.
I actually really liked her backstory, and I liked, you know, of course they had to do the callback to showing a boggart, the same thing that
What's a boggart?
It's
The little
the thing that tree shows creature? No, it shows you what you're afraid of.
Oh yeah.
The same thing that Lupin did in Prisoner of Azkaban with his class, and Dumbledore is at Hogwarts as the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. He's doing the same thing, and it was like creepy when she stepped up there and saw like basically a floating person in water as what her biggest fear was. And then I liked the backstory of learning about how like her family life was just absolutely terrible, and how she accidentally like indirectly had her brother died and drowned when they were traveling to America, and like the backstory there. But due to her end, it seemed kind of pointless that they spent so much time on it.
Yeah, they build her up, they give us some backstory, then they kill her.
And I really like Zoe Kravitz, so like that was pretty heartbreaking for me in the theater.
What do you think her play was there? Just to attempt to shoot a quick pew-pew at him to see if it would work?
I think she wanted to die.
Yeah. That's what I
thought. Because of guilt?
And she was also in love with Newt and not his brother.
Yeah, she turned to the brothers and said, I love you. But who was she saying it to? Soap opera, All My Children, Days of Our Lives.
Next movie or two. Hopefully they can go into the afterlife and get that resolved and find out.
Hey, well, we talked about how weak the love the love fights were. What's her face that Newt is in love with?
Tina.
What's her name? Tina sees a picture that where there's a misprint. Okay, a misprint in a newspaper caused a rift between them.
In the magic world, too.
For God's sake.
They could have just fixed it. It's not like they have to reprint.
And, of course, it's like the worst thing in a movie where a character won't let another character say a glaringly obvious thing that the audience is like, just say it, and they play that for like 10 minutes. He's like, oh, I had to tell you something. I'm not
His salamander eyes comment, though, I thought they played that greatly. After like kind of playing on, like, oh my god, he's gonna do it at some point. But I like the way that they did it. It was pretty funny
when he was like, I've only seen it in, and then she said salamanders. I was like, Jesus Christ.
loved it. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I actually don't mind her backstory. It's kind of heartbreaking. And because she was like, they tried to make her like, she was clearly like an ancillary character in this movie, but then they try to start turn her into like this big factor in the story, and then yeah, and then she's gone. So it just feels so dumb. Like, it's just everything was just a stepping stone to something else.
Right. Right. I mean, the whole point of this is leading up to the big battle of all time between Dumbledore and Grindelwald. And now that you told me there's three more movies coming, I was like, oh my God, next movie, they're going to do it and it's going to be great. Because I was hoping we'd see it in this movie.
Mm.
And then clearly that didn't happen. And so now I'm like, is it going to be next movie or is next movie?
No, of course not.
It's going to be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way.
It makes me so mad.
Just, if the next movie is filler and bad, like, this series is in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think they're going to be moving at a decent pace now.
Yeah, I can't see them making the mistake of this movie. Just a bunch of filler, convoluted subplots, bunch of drama that's nonsense.
It feels like we're going to start getting like the war stuff happening in the next movie, or at least the beginning of it. And we have Credence like finally actually being like a character that's going to do something other than mope around.
Yeah. The final scene I thought was pretty weak. Him doing his like fire pit thing, join me or die. And then it felt like that dragon scene was just like, well, we need something bigger than just that, so we got to close it out with some CG dragons flying around.
Yeah, I thought it could have been a lot cooler, especially with having like all the Aurors there. But I guess like that is supposed to show that Grindelwald is that powerful, maybe that like it didn't matter. But I don't know.
It was just a bunch of nothing.
And also, you know, like a bunch of the Aurors got consumed by that fire and died. But like. And it felt like the fire was, like, raging like crazy, but somehow all our main characters, like, were unaffected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Right.
It didn't make sense to me. Should we just talk about the final scene?
Finale, yeah. Dumbledore's bro? Think he's making that up?
So, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I predicted that was going to be what he was. When they sort of mentioned that, like, it was, like, the absence of love and, like, I just assumed that we were leading into like this thing where they were going to say that he was like the long lost twin brother or something of Dumbledore's sister, which doesn't make sense at all.
No.
And also, Dumbledore, he's way too young to be related to Dumbledore.
Yeah. And Dumbledore doesn't have another brother besides Aberforth.
Yeah. Or at least that's what we think. Who knows? Right. J.K. Rowling might be dicking around with stuff.
No, it's bullshit. I mean, Grindelwald is manipulating Credence. Mm. And since they can't, quote, fight each other because of, you know, their, you know, boyfriend bond mm-hmm. thing, their pact, little, their blood pact.
Blood pact, yeah.
Their love pact.
Love pact.
He wants him to, like, go after Dumbledore. But the thing I don't get is why he thinks that he could beat Dumbledore, because Credence... He can't control his magic. He has no idea how to do anything. He's just this obscurist mm-hmm. who, like, gets mad and then chaos happens.
Yep. Yeah.
But Dumbledore can handle that. Like, I just don't get it.
I think...
the plan is probably to train him, you know?
Yeah, maybe, like, a little bit.
Channel that energy.
And also, I feel like it's just having, like, this extremely powerful thing that he can just let loose to just unleash destruction as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'd also assume that Grindelwald was going to work on trying to make that blood pact, you know, nullified as well at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed, I don't know if you caught this, Austin, but where they are, they're at the Nuremberg Castle in Austria, where Hitler kills himself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if they're going to try and do something where it's like, Grindelwald influences Hitler in, you know, for the Muggle world and makes them fight each other, and everything that he predicted is something that he created, or if they just did it as like a parallel because, you know, Hitler wanted, you know, the Aryan race to be the most supreme mm-hmm. and then Grindelwald mm-hmm. wants the purebloods. So I don't know.
The fact that we're talking about Hitler and Harry Potter is just kind of alarming. Do you think that they're really going to go that route?
Well, they showed World War II.
Yeah.
Well, I think
why else would they have it be that castle in Austria? They could have just shown a random castle. They didn't need to say like where it was. Like, why would they do that?
Isn't
right?
It, that's also where Grindelwald gets held prisoner too, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, pretty sure it is.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the phoenix at the end? He's taking care of this bird, and then he turns the bird into a phoenix. Is that supposed to parallel Newt taking care of a little bird?
No, you can take this one, Sarah. Me? Come on.
No, both of you take it.
He mentions it. Dumbledore mentions it earlier in the movie. How the Dumbledores, basically like a phoenix, will always find them. A phoenix is like this magical creature that will. Basically, like, explode and then rebirth through the ashes and that kind of thing.
They always protect their kin. Mm-hmm.
So was that to prove to him that he's a Dumbledore?
Yeah, I think that's why Grindelwald did it. I'm assuming that it's not actually, like, it's just another trick.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
Also, is it Nuremberg or was it Nuremberg for Hitler? Because there's the Nuremberg trials.
That might invalidate your.
I'm pretty sure, but I'm almost 100% sure that Nuremberg, which is where they were, is where Grindelwald is kept prisoner once he's captured.
Also, Credence just blows a hole through his castle.
Yeah, I know.
What
no
a
respect.
Dick move.
No respect.
Yeah.
Although that was he's pretty like, badass. He like blew up a mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, he just got there though. He's like, I'm a guest. I'm just gonna blow a hole through this. He's like, you're my boy. I'm going to give you a phoenix. Thanks, Dad.
I also don't understand why would Credence be so mad right off the bat about like finding out that he has a brother or his brother hates him or something when like there's no founded evidence for that, Credence. Quit being so stupid and gullible.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Sarah, do you have any other guesses as to who Credence could be?
No. Once you mentioned that maybe they're going the route of being related to Voldemort in one way or another, I could see them do that, but it also could be he comes from no significant background.
And that's what I would like. I like it kind of like parallel to like we were talking about Star Wars and Last Jedi, how they basically said like Rey doesn't have, you know, any significant family or anything. I would have liked these things to switch where Rey, you know, had a significant family and Credence doesn't need one because, like, we don't care about Credence.
No.
So if he ends up being nobody, it fits.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Right. Agreed.
I am sad that he got a new haircut in this movie, though. I loved his haircut in the first one.
Still pretty bad in this one,
though. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have much more to say. Do you guys have anything else you really want to talk about here?
No, ratings. Well, do you, Sarah?
No.
Ratings recap?
Yep. I was a C+.
I am also a C+.
I was a D.
Yeah, overall a letdown after when I sort of thought the first Fantastic Beasts was one of the best Harry Potter movies.
I loved it.
So it's a big letdown here. But again, it just feels like we've said before, a stepping stone to things to come. I do think it's going to get better. But it is definitely troubling that like we had all this filler content that just felt just pointless. Where would you put this in your Harry Potter movie ranking? Would it be?
Oh boy, I don't have this prepared. Do you?
No.
Yeah, we could do probably an article on that. But yeah, can you rattle them off, your rankings?
No, not the full ranking. I just want to know where this would be, this movie would be. For me, I don't think it's the worst. I still think I enjoyed it more than like the first two.
Yeah, I feel like Harry Potter like 2 was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Everybody hates Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah. Was that 2?
Yeah.
When did Yates take over? 4 and on or 3 and on?
5.
5 and on.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the early Harry Potters being pretty bad.
It's because they were very kiddie. The first two were very kiddie, directed by Christopher Columbus that made Home Alone or whatever. Yeah. So,
also Discovered America.
Discovered America. I heard about that as well.
He's a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
Definitely bottom of the barrel, I think, this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bottom tier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that is it for Fantastic Beasts review. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a review of Creed 2. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Hopefully listen to this over your any travels that you have. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you use. Like, comment, share, all that fun stuff on social media. Check out BookClutcher.com for any new articles and stuff like that. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
And thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Peace.